Hey, what's up,
Blog
everybody?
Talk Radio.
It's that time again on a Wednesday evening in the 8 to 9 p.m. hour on Wednesday, where we do this show live every week from the Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the K. Thompson Live Show. I am the person that is known as the Sun, and you are?
I'm K. Thompson, K. Thompson Live here on Blog Talk Radio, everyone, where we're going to be talking to Sally Carroll. Sally is well known in the Newark, New Jersey area. She was just giving a bit some information about Sally Carroll. Sally Carroll, Newark Branch, NAACP. She was one of the first women to be appointed to the Newark Police Department, assigned to the juvenile squad. I'm talking fast because I'm very excited about Sally.
There's
because,
no rush. Take your time.
I know, but you know, Sally is great. She was, she's famous. And she's famous for all good things. She was appointed to the Newark Police Department, later transferred to Essex County Sheriff's Office, worked to rank of detective. She was named by the Governor Brendan Byrne, confirmed by the New Jersey State Senate to become the first woman to serve on the New Jersey State Parole Board. Beginning in 1962, she was involved with the Newark Branch NAACP and still remains semi-retired, because she's not going to be talking on our show as many times as we can get to her. She's a life membership chairperson. She served as president of the branch, NAACP branch, from 1967 to 1974. She was elected to the National Board of Directors of the NAACP. She was appointed to the Committee of Branch by Julian Bond, chairman of the National Board of Directors. I'm really excited to be talking to, you know, my cousin, Sally Carroll, who is going to be calling in very shortly. And she is very excited about being on. And I welcome and say hello to all the people who were part of, the movement, the Black Power movement, concerned with the concerns of Black Americans in our country today. So let's get to the phones. I think she should be calling in about now. And Eric, if you want to say something about Sally at all?
Yeah. You said it all. We're going to be talking to her when we talk to Sally when she calls in. But also talking about stuff that's going on in the news as well. Until we do that, is today most people, if you're paying attention, that the from a political standpoint, the Republicans and the president, they have passed this, the first, I guess, legislative achievement that you could talk about that the president has gotten through, his tax law that they've gotten through, which is kind of amazing that a guy never paid taxes, showed any of his taxes, but and he gets elected and gets himself a tax break. That's how to do it. You got to respect Trump's gangster. At least from my perspective. Let's go in and welcome one of our resident guests, Byron Saunders.
Yes, indeed. Good evening. I looked into the criminal code and I saw where theft by deception was a major crime. I think this new tax bill is a major crime.
Yes, you are exactly right, Byron. Go ahead, elaborate on that.
Well, absolutely, this new tax legislation where they are giving themselves more cash on the hand. What really is astonishing to me is that the so-called conservative movement, which would base itself on economic restraint, would want to break the deficit by over $1 trillion. And this particular piece will now focus on the social entitlement, something that they've been trying to do for ever since FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, brought in the social structure of our federal government. Now, this is not the same old Republican Party. It's a new one. And this one wants to give themselves more liquidity than they already have. The stock market has loads of cash out there available for development, jobs, pay raises. They could do it right now. So why are we giving them more stimulus money to do something that they are already capable of executing simply because they got more money out and cash is ahead right now than any time in America? What's probably rather confusing, and we got to be very careful, is the potential for recession. Because what happens if the stock market crashes? And then the only people who have all the cash in the world, as they already have already, have all the rest of the cash in the world to orchestrate an economic overthrow of this government by oligarchs. And especially with the showdown today on Capitol Hill, they're setting it up for a constitutional crisis.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're doing their own thing or whatever they want to do, and I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm speechless. You know, at these guys, at how this man can get elected, never ever showed his taxes, said he wasn't going to show them, and then orchestrates to give himself a tax break, a tax cut, for millions of dollars. It's unbelievable. And these people that are enabling just whatever the president wants to do is something that just is mind-boggling.
Eric, the thing that's even more mind-boggling is the fact that our nation right now and the corporate community have more cash than they've had in ever the history of this country. The billionaires were made into trillionaires, and mm-hmm. it's still generating that same fuel. Now, if you figure it out, if you put too much cash into the market, what will happen is when the stock market can't keep fueling itself the way it is, it will crash, on comes a recession, and then the only people who have the money are the corporations and the banks because they gave themselves
right.
all this money. There's no sunset on their corporate taxes. They're permanent.
Right, right. And that's
so that's
a bizarre thing.
That's right.
And you know, these guys operate on this notion that the corporations are going to put more money back in, and I think the guy Gary Cohn was at an economic function the other day, and someone in the audience or I guess one of the co-hosts asked a lot of the CEOs there in the audience, by a show of hands, how many of you are going to put these savings back into the company and improve? And it was like two people raised their hands. And the guy said, well, I hope it would be more hands because these guys are going to put it back and, like you said, give it to their shareholders, reinvest, and all that stuff. People who don't seem to understand that the stock market and the taxes and things like that really are at a loss. But I see that we got Sally Carroll calling in now. We were talking about Sally Carroll. My mother was talking about, who happens to be my cousin, but she was also one of the things that in talking to and learning about my cousin Sally, was one of the remarkable things is that she was one of the first women on the North Police Department, which is something exciting to learn about, that you're related to someone who's a groundbreaking a person like that, a history maker. Also being she also served as Essex County Sheriff's Office, where she worked to the rank of detective. She's a former president of the North Branch of the NAACP, where she served there. She also served on the National Board of Directors for 18 years, and she was appointed by the legendary Julian Bond to chair the Committee of Branches. So she's done some work in serving the community and certain protecting the community. I want to welcome to the show Sally Carroll. Hey, Sally, how are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. How have you been? You know, Sally. All these years growing up, you know, I didn't know that you were the black police officer woman, and you know, I think I might have told you this, but you know, those are things that you know, see all these movies about police women and all this stuff, but I really feel that your story, like a lot of the other black women who are groundbreakers, is something that should be told and is, you know, the stuff that movies are made of. I mean, you want to talk about what it was like? And first, I want to know, what made you decide to become a police officer?
Well, I was, at the time, I was working at Western Electric, And somebody from Newark told us that there was going to be an exam for police women, and I decided to take the exam, and I passed, and was appointed to the first class of women ever in the Newark Police Department. They had had police matrons in different precincts, but nobody with police powers.
Mm-hmm. So, what when you now you the differentiation between matrons and police? You said no one with really police powers. So the matrons would do kind of the office work or help out around whatever, I guess maybe community, the things that they have community members doing now? Is that what, or was that
they
the only way women could serve at the time?
They were only called into work when there was a woman arrested for something.
I see.
Anytime they had women in custody, they would have these police matrons who worked in the different precincts that had holding cells for women.
Now, were you the only, how many other black women were on this? You said this was the first class. How many other black women were in the class?
Well, there was Rhoda Daniels, Eleanor Stokes, and later on, Martha Brent, and Ruth Dargan, and I said Eleanor Stokes.
Mm-hmm.
But Eleanor and Rhoda Pryor, who was later Rhoda Daniels, we were the three who came on in the first class that came on in that May, and Ruth Dargan and Martha Brent came on in December of the same year.
And how many 41. Women? How many women altogether? So that was about three or four black women, and you and a couple other women. About how many women altogether were in this class?
There were nine altogether.
Wow! Wow! Mm-hmm. And how long? How long were you?
And only one of them really stayed in the department till the till retirement. But all the rest of us moved on to other things, except for Ruth. She remained there until retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else kind of moved on.
Get to that number.
Byron, do you have any questions of Sally? Hold on for a second.
I'm just fascinated by the story, and I'm looking at the bio and the pictures and know that the time and period that you came into the force itself and then over the next 30, 40 years progressively see the development of change. I mean, it's a process, and most people don't understand. So you have to start somewhere, and your career was at the starting gate. And I salute you. So thank you for being the pioneer, opening the doors, providing the opportunities, and now being able to tell the story with us and sharing it tonight with the listeners. And I'm in awe. So I could sit and listen to you for a long time.
Yeah, it was a very interesting time in the Newark Police. And then when I moved on to the sheriff's office, I was a court attendant at first and then was appointed to the detective bureau in the sheriff's office. So I was there until I retired to become a member of the state parole board. Governor Byrne appointed me in 77 to the New Jersey State Parole Board. And that was the first time they had women on the parole board. In fact, that class was the first state-appointed parole system. Before that, individual institutions had their own separate parole boards consisting of mostly, in the case of the women's prison and Clinton's prison, it was the women who had been trustees in the parole board, and parole was a very loose system, to say the least, at that point in time. Most of the people sentenced to Clinton Reformatory for women were serving indeterminate terms, which is, you know, not like 7 to 9 or 5 to 10 or something like that. They were indeterminate terms, and the length of the term was determined by these local parole board members who based a lot of their decisions on how they interacted personally with the women at the prison when they were ready to come up for parole. It was an interesting time.
Goodness, yes. Ms. Carroll, asking about the your development of the urban program with the NAACP and the process that obviously helped to establish the ground rules for urban development. You have some comments about where we are today in with respect to the work that you and your other people on your staff and doing some of the same things. How far have we come, and where are we? Because we've got some stuff that's about to happen in our country, and you know, your wisdom certainly could help guide us through some of this.
Well, I don't know how much of the guidance I can be, but
well, you're still here and you're still telling it well, because a lot of the things you have done have helped to lay the groundwork for where we're headed right now. And there's some major changes about to happen, so it's going to be some interesting times. But once again, you are one of the icons of growth in urban development and, you know, community development. History is a very important part of it.
Right. Speaking of that, Byron, real quick, I just have a question to ask Sally about, you're appointed chair of the Committee of Branches by Julian Bond. And, you know, for someone my age and younger, well, people younger probably should be familiar with him, but someone my age, someone like Julian Bond was a giant in the civil rights movement and what he's done and contributed to African Americans as well as America. Can you describe or talk about what it was like working with someone like Julian Bond?
Well, it was very rewarding. Julian was really a giant in so many ways, and he was a leader. And he was just a tremendous guy. I liked him very much and had a great deal of respect for him. He was one of those people who you just know they're incorruptible, that they're not going to be swayed by power or money or anything. They're just absolute giants, really. His loss was really devastating to me because he had so much more to give.
Sally?
Yes?
Sally Carroll?
Hi, Kate.
Yes, hi. Kate here. I want to ask you, good to talk to you. Glad to have you on. This is quite an affair, you know, because I've been trying to get to you, to talk to you on the air for many, 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 many years. You know that, okay? And you're one of my favorite cousins. Even though I was a brat at one particular time. But what message do you have to all the people that's listening in and say, NAACP, I'm so glad to that you're on with us on K-Thompson Live. Give us a message. Give them a message. Let them hear what you have to say about today's situations that we are in.
Well, I think that everybody should volunteer for something, for some cause or some dream to make a difference. I have unlimited respect for volunteers in all categories because they give of themselves when they don't have to. They could sit at home and be comfortable. But anybody who volunteers in any endeavor that's going to help other people or people less fortunate. I'm looking at television now, and the current Newark president is Deborah Smith Gregory, and she's speaking at city council meeting. And Deborah is one of those who gives it her all. There are quite a few of those in the Newark branch. Some of them, I'm proud to say, I helped along the way or inspired or whatever you might want to call it. They are serious volunteers, and they think of their community and their families and their friends and all the people of Newark, you know, fortunate and those who are not fortunate enough to have any kind of support system. NAACP is a volunteers organization, and I've been a member since the 60s under the late Carlton B. Norris, who
yes.
was the president of the Newark branch at a time that he was an acting police officer, which was
yes.
unusual because there were black folks had so many unfortunate incidents with the police, and he changed a lot of that culture that existed in Newark police at the time. Of black people being, you know, falsely accused and falsely arrested and denied bail or bail set so high that they could never make it. C.B. Norris changed a great deal of that, and he was a reason why I became involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I
if you had
still, I don't get out much, but I'm still supportive of the Newark branch, NAACP, and the national office.
Wonderful. Can't do without you. Listen, we're going to end this conversation right now. We want you to get some rest. Eric, you want to say something?
Sally, let me just ask before we let you go. The NAACP nowadays, as you know, when I was a young man or a kid, and there was the NAACP was, for lack of a better term, more well known. The PR about the NAACP, a lot of African Americans, you know, that was the premier, and still is the premier organization. However, What do you see the mission of the NAACP as it we go into further into the future in terms of I guess, using the energy of a lot of new movements like Black Lives Matter and a lot of this new generation of activists? What do you think is the NAACP's role in that and things like that, as you see it?
Well, I think there's still a role for it because there's still prejudice in the country. There's still denial of the black potential. And I just think inspiring people to vote, to run for office, and to vote, and to get out to vote is very, very key. That some things never change, and that's one of them.
Amen to that. That's hits it right on the head right there. Certainly now, in terms, and I think my mother wants to say one other thing to you. Go ahead, Ma.
All right. Sally, listen, I know you're getting a little tired now, and we want you to come on again. Can you promise to come on again?
Yes, I certainly will.
Sally Carroll, thank you so much. Listen, we have a lot of family listening in. Can you say something to the family, the rest of the family listening in, all over the country?
Oh, Merry Christmas to all.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, yeah, from sister-in-law Emma Smith, Emma T. Carroll, and my nephew Stanley Carroll.
Yeah,
Stanley. And my nephew Keith Van Oy, and all their extended families. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas. And a Happy New
Year. Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right.
And
thank
you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. My cousin Nia and Keith and all those guys, that was an interesting interview. And as I said before, that my cousin Sally, you know, once I found out, and I guess I don't know why I didn't know a lot sooner, because, you know, I think that's really a cool thing to be one of the first women on the police department. Certainly as a black woman in those days, I think it might have been, I don't know what years it was. I think it might have been in the 40s or something like that. I'm just going by the picture I've seen of Sally in a news clipping. And just to imagine the stories that she has and some of the experiences that she experienced, those are the things that movies are made of, that kind of heroic kind of characters that we didn't know anything about, those hidden figures type of characters of African-American women and other African-Americans and just minorities in period, but certainly obviously my emphasis was African-Americans that we never knew about. And I know that down there in D.C., Byron, you guys had a lot of person and people like that that were those members of the community that did, when you stand back and look at it, did some pretty heroic and historic things, right? Certainly in D.C.
Absolutely. I mean, the backbone of the movement were the organizations like NAACP, SNCC, CORE, SCLC, the Black Panthers. I mean, that we have never not been a part of a movement of political thought and always working towards freedom in every aspect of in every part of our communities. So, I mean, and yes, NAACP has been a strong representative and has fought many battles on behalf of a lot of us. And we don't know our history. And that's why a person like Sally Carroll, who has lived it, breathed it, she, as they say, bought the T-shirt and gave it away, wore it and gave it away. I mean, she was on the front lines. And that, it's a brilliant story. It should be a movie. Another hidden figure,
right,
as you identified.
And you know, these are the rank and file members of society. You know, I mean, Sally,
exactly,
was a police officer. The sisters, the women who were the hidden figures. Women were teachers. My mother is looking at an article of Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was just a regular. I think she was a school teacher. So those are the stories that I find most interesting. You know, growing up in the community of Newark that I grew up in, and you know, my uncle having served in Congress and having family members that were elected to public office, and also growing up in the community of, you know, a city of Newark, one of the historic cities in terms of black history. People like Amiri Baraka being members of the community, you know, it kind of realized that generation of not only the activists, but the average every day to go to work people, you know, the people that the activists are trying to get to come to the meeting. You know, the activists and the political people are one thing, but the people that they're trying to rally into action. The rank and file everyday people that you might not get to a meeting that night, or you might get to a meeting, but when they get fed up, like Rosa Parks, what kicked off the movement, she was tired. She was just fed up. She became a person who has her own place in history, and that's what I find most interesting about it, that everyday people going to work every day, those black women that during the bus boycott down there, I think Montgomery bus boycott, that decided to, you know, walk in the community, that decided to come together and form their own transportation system. You know, not the leaders, but the rank and file.
Yeah, interesting that you can say that, think of this. Interesting that you take that line of thought, because once again, it showed the African-American woman in our communities who stood and brought together their forces and helped to create the change. Once again, where are we? We're talking about Montgomery, Alabama. We just had the election in which the black women of Alabama stood up to defeat a Senate pedophile. You know, I mean, that's the enormous political power that is established in the African-American community through women. It's enormous. And we have to respect that, honor that.
Yes.
And we are in a period where we're just showing it again. It's really amazing what's been happening politically and socially in our country. And look at how African-American women stepped up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, also about Rosa Parks, Byron.
Yes.
She was in New York. She was in New York years ago. And she was stopped at WLIBVOS. And I got a chance to interview her by my partner, Gus Henningberg, who was responsible for me getting an interview with Rosa Parks at the Sterrington House in Montclair, New Jersey.
Wow.
And I did an interview with her in front of Don Miller's March on Washington mural. He was a painter, an artist, Gus was able to get the permission of Don for me to interview Rosa Parks in front of that mural years ago. And the interview that I did, I got to interview with her because she kept coming to the LRB and she was tired and she was, you know, but it's a 17-minute interview that I have kept all these years. And I haven't put it out to the public because it is a historic piece of history. And I probably will not be doing that in the near future, but maybe someday. But I want to tell you about Rosa. After interviewing Sally, you know, these are great women. And as a former English and history teacher, you know, I'm very particular about young people and people of our community, knowing about the people who made a real difference, you know, in this country. Now that we have the president that we don't want in our community, we need all the heroes and the heroines that we can have and talk about and remember and give praise to and let them know how thankful we are that they existed, spoke out, and then they stood up. And I'm so thankful to a lot of the younger people who really are making a difference. So many of the younger people are so involved, you know, in political affairs and what's going on in the world. And we're going to be seeing some real, real changes, you know, right very soon, because the fact that so many people are not, you know, really very happy with what's going on in Washington under the new administration. But a bunch of Rosa Parks was just looking to me a little bit, talk to her about her a little bit. When she came to LIB, and Gus had arranged for a car to come to the station, and we went over to Montclair to Don Miller's studio. The interview was 17 minutes. She was very soft-spoken, and she spoke about the time that she had on that bus. And she said that she was tired of being tired. And she stayed on the bus because the fact that every time they had to get on the bus to go work in someone's house or someone's kitchen, that the women had to wait, and then they had to stand, and they couldn't sit And if you sat, if she sat, and when a white person got on that bus and said, "I want that seat," she moved. They had to move and sometimes get off the bus. And she told that story in that 17 minutes. And she told it with like a resolve and almost like, you know, she still couldn't get over it, or there wasn't any anger. It was just history. She was citing history. And then she said, and she hoped that it would never to be repeated again. But she realized the importance that she had, you know, to our community to speak out. And she was a great lady. And I was absolutely amazed at getting the opportunity to interview her at Don Miller's studio in Montclair. He was a great painter. And for him to allow us to do that, that was absolutely fantastic. But Byron, it's been nice talking to you. I want to talk about a few other things. I want to talk about
Yes.
You know, my daughter, Gina.
Yes.
Your sister, Eric, she is now doing something very interesting in Bermuda. She's going into television. Okay. So, hello to Gina. I hope that maybe she's going to be calling in. I'm not sure that she is going to be able to call in. Sally Carroll is quite a lady. Quite a lady. And
well, congratulations.
Let me talk to Gina about Gina for a minute here. I don't know if I had her calling in. I tell her it was going to be, you know, a long period of time. But anyway, she's now going to be working with Channel 482 in Bermuda. And she was cast, a member of the cast for new programming on Channel 82, Bermuda programming. And it's going to be a TV channel. It is a TV channel, a brand new company, as a matter of fact, in Bermuda. Show goes on Channel 82, and I'll let you know when it starts because she's going to be coming on. And we will keep you posted. She was up against a group of about 17 women coming on to be part of the station in Bermuda. And she was now in a good position to be an important involvement with the Bermuda Channel 82. So congratulations to Bermuda for this new company coming into Bermuda, because it had open calls for this new show, for this new network. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. And she's going to be doing a lot of things with that station. And so we're going to be also broadcasting. Maybe we can do a connection with them. You know, we're going to be trying to do that. And the intention also is to involve more women in broadcasting and more women in, television, which I think I'm going to be going back to in the near future. So, Erica, you wanted to tell me something about what's going on with you?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about what we were talking about. Sally had mentioned, touch back on something that Sally mentioned about the need for the NAACP, the question I asked her about the movements and the NAACP moving into the future. One thing pretty interesting is always, and one of the key goals back in the day of the vote of the NAACP was voting rights, and you mentioned that a little bit, Byron. And it's just ironic that we're still fighting a lot of those battles, certainly voting rights, in a lot of these states that try to restrict voting rights by, disguising the voter ID law, one that wants to improve voting. But we know that certainly they're trying to take away the right to vote to black and brown people. Certainly in Texas, they've really enacted some very strict voter ID laws, as well as North Carolina. Obviously, we were given a great victory last night in Virginia when the Democrat won office to tie the votes in the House of Delegates in Virginia, breaking the Republican control of the Virginia Assembly. And apparently they had for a long time, and they were able to just run roughshod over the state. So now the Democrats have an equal shot, and it's I think it's 50-50. But these are the things that the causes that never seem to die that we continually have to fight
and regain. And someone said that it is each generation's responsibility to make sure that that democracy works and stuff like that. I don't know how much democracy works, but I think that each generation certainly responsibility to make sure that all are equal under the law. I think that is the 14th Amendment. Mm-hmm. You wanted to say, Mom.
Yeah, right? I want to leave this a little heavy, you know, because the fact that I really wanted to talk about.
I'm sorry. The internet and I are talking right now.
That's my cell phone. But listen, I really wanted to. I'm going to end this right now. But I really want to talk about movies, okay? Netflix. And a number of different movies that are out there. So many different. It used to be a happy time. In fact, Shaka Zulu. I don't know if anybody has been watching different movies. You know, I'm a Netflix fiend and I'm a movie fiend, and watching old movies has become a daily thing, aside from doing all the other work on the show and a few other things. But anyway, Netflix. You have any movies that you Mudbound?
No,
have you heard? You heard about the movies Mudbound?
No, I have not. Why don't you tell us about?
Why don't you tell us about Spike Lee's movies? Would you like to tell us about Spike Lee's?
No, you were talking about Mudbound.
Oh, okay, and that's good. That's on Netflix. And let me see what else I have here. I had a whole list of them. If anybody wants to call and talk about a movie, what happened to all my notes?
All right, yeah. I was watching the, speaking of Netflix, watching the Spike Lee series, She's Gotta Have It.
Awful.
And, okay. You said it's awful. Yeah. My mother's opinion is that it was awful. I watched it too, and I thought it was okay. It wasn't the best, but it was one of the many series. I don't know if it's going to be coming back. Bring anybody up to speed that doesn't know about this is a revisit of the Spike Lee's original film, She's Gotta Have It, and he's decided to make it into a Netflix television series, or at least an 8-episode. I don't know if that's going to continue to be a series and talk about that stuff, but it's an interesting show. I think it's trying to capture the tone of a lot of the shows out there. There's a show Insecure based on the show Awkward Black Girl and things like that. Have you had a chance to see any of these of those? She's Got to Have It, Byron. Have you checked that out?
No,
on Netflix?
I haven't. I know about the controversy on it, and I'm all in favor of doing retrospective work. Okay, because it really, for some of those who missed it, may want to see it, like Sweetback. Okay, or to see the earlier attempts at filmmaking. But here's the major question. With all the things we've got going on, sexual harassment and the issues of loose and fast women or loose and fast men, why are we entertaining stories that are not leading us anywhere? We seem to just be taking us into a virtual world. A world that's not even sustaining us. And I mean, I love Spike's work, and I loved it when I first saw it. But, are we at a point now where we can go beyond and start developing conversations with our community by way of technology, by way of the webisodes, by way of movies and TVs? And if we're going to do a remake that's worthy of being seen. And then I'm not casting judgment on it. It's just that I question, why is it now that we're doing that kind of work?
Yeah, well, I would assume that you're probably, you're trying to take advantage of something that was hot. And certainly if you're familiar with this TV show Insecure, it's a similar themed show. And so since
right.
that's a hit, obviously, success brings breeds that kind of people where people try to duplicate things that have been successful. I don't know about the loose and fast women. The correlation between the harassment and all that, loose and fast men and women.
That's exactly.
A separate issue. But.
I didn't mean to make it sexist. Trust me. And next thing you
right.
know, you'll be reading about me, but it wasn't me, y'all.
Yeah. So you want to say my
mom's going to come on. You know, you guys are getting to be so heavy. Have you seen the episodes of Shaka Zulu?
Oh, I love Shaka Zulu episodes. Yes.
Yeah. What about Tarzan?
Great story. Great story.
What about Gone with the Wind? All movies.
Military
Gone with the Wind.
Shaka Zulu.
What about Color Purple with Whoopi Goldberg?
Oh, I saw it again the other day. Oh my goodness.
What's
stunning,
that for your passion?
Still, absolutely.
What about Ghost? What about Godzilla?
Ghost is a very good film. Yes.
What about Goodfellas? What about the Sundance Channel? What about Scarface? What about Titanic? What about Lena Horne, Cabin in the Sky? Okay? Name a few movies. You know, because of the fact that Netflix is on, and there's the stories of Mudbound is a story of a black family and under slavery. And that is on, you know, that extra channel also. And it's, but the funny stuff, I like the funny stuff. Shango. Did you ever see Shango?
Oh, yeah.
No, huh? Byron.
Yeah. It was okay.
You saw Shango?
The entertaining parts of, I like our films that have come through because the stories have gotten so much more advanced. And even, especially with the movie, the new genre of filmmakers, I applaud their effort because they are stepping out and into territory that's unique. They're telling
sometimes
good stories.
Sometimes you just want to see a movie that just takes you through the world. Just something for fun, not the heavy-duty, you know, political movies that are out now. As a matter of fact, we've seen them, sit through them. But, you know, there's so many things that are so amusing and so wonderful.
Yeah.
And I hope that people will be going to the movies more often. And, you know, we're going to have some fun with it here later on. Because the fact that, you know, the black community, we've been through so much. You know, we need things light and funny and having fun. All right. And the holidays are coming up. And you hate to get to be in a very heavy down situation when you can easily do something else. But so talking about Channel 82 in Bermuda, by the way, Gina is, what she did was she auditioned for an open call for this new television channel, Channel 82 in Bermuda. And background in her television and radio stuff, and as a matter of fact, she helped me. She's one of my producers on, you know, a couple of shows I did for WLIB. And she's, you know, performing as was involved in the open call. And the people answered the call. The first person to write in and support her, she was telling me about how can you help? You can help by Instagram, the channel 82, if you want to support Gina Payne Scott. So you can go to channel 82 in Bermuda, Instagram.
So what is it? What is the thing that they're auditioning to be on the show and people have to call in and vote?
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. They can just express their interest in what Gina is doing because, she did make that first cut, I think. Yeah. So we're going to be doing joint programming. You know, and what my idea is to go all throughout a lot of places in the Caribbean and other states, you know, to be heard and let our views be heard here in the northeastern part of the country. And I'm still thinking about Sally, though. She's
okay. Yeah, that was a good idea. And I guess it sounds like. Gina is maybe they're trying to put a group of women together to see what the best fit is there. So good luck with that. Hopefully that will work out. It is coming up on the holiday season, and there's some they got this remake of what I found interesting in terms of movies and TV shows. What I found interesting was, I don't know if you heard about this, Byron, this remake of this TV show, I forget now, A Christmas Story, I believe it is, where they're doing
the live
version.
Remake. Yeah.
Right. Where they're doing that with Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
No, it didn't.
It's, it did not get a good review, as from what I read. It's interesting to make that a classic when you know you have the Christmas Story and so many other shows, but it had, I mean, it has established itself as an annual C movie. Live theater.
For a certain generation, a little bit younger than you, my brother, that movie. There's a generation around my, a little bit younger than my age, actually, thought about my sister's age when that movie came out, and that grew up on that movie, and it's kind of become a classic for those guys, a Christmas classic.
Yeah.
To me, you know, when you remake things that are already classic, I'm wondering why. You know, I thought the original is so well done, and because it's well done because of its time period and the culture around when it was, when that movie was done. And I guess a remake is okay, and the gimmick was to do it live before, I guess, an audience, right? I think that was part of the gimmick, to make it a live show. You know, I'm like, why? And why does it ever have to – so it really doesn't it really didn't interest me. I thought it was interesting, but I'm surprised that it didn't get a good review. I don't even know if it aired already. I guess it might have aired, and a lot of times what they do, what I've noticed they do with these shows that they've – this new gimmick of doing them live is that they'll rebroadcast them, the production.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you got a chance to see it. I didn't get a chance to see it.
I didn't get a chance to see it. I actually, last night I went to go see the new Star Wars movie in 3D.
Oh, how was that?
And
what was your take on the new Star Wars?
It's a very entertaining. It is, Disney has now stamped its format on the Lucas Spielberg brand, so it has a wholesomeness and a healthiness that's unique and encouraging. Now, it's a good sci-fi. Oh my gosh, good acting. You're definitely kept in the story. I mean, they almost go to all ends to keep you in the story, and there's some wonderful little quips as it relates to Luke Skywalker getting older and the character and the actor himself being older. And then, of course, how do you deal with Princess Leia, who in the character of Debbie Reynolds' daughter has recently passed away. So you're looking at a transition.
Sorry.
Yeah, right. And it's really wonderfully made. You really enjoy it. It's good matinee stuff. You know, mm-hmm. 3D was, the technology has even stepped up a little bit. So it was nice to watch it in Sony 3D at IMAX film last night. It was 11 o'clock showing, 11 p.m. This was in Lincoln
Center. Were there a lot of people there? I mean, the way you could tell whether a movie's doing really well is that when you go to 11 o'clock show, first off, if they're offering an 11 o'clock show, that means the film is in high demand. Secondly, if there are a lot of people in the audience sitting there with you at the 11 o'clock show.
It was well attended. Okay. It wasn't packed, sold out, but it was very well attended. And that's nice, because you're right. I mean, especially in the IMAX, you're looking 70 millimeter, and it's kind of hard to not stay focused in that. But it was very well done, and a lot of good, and a lot of people. Nice turnout. I'd say about 450 people.
There's a movie 60%. About Thurgood Marshall. There's a movie about Thurgood Marshall. I forget the name. We saw it. It was really, really absolutely excellent.
That's
I forget
Reggie
the name
Hudson's
of it. What was
movie.
The name of it?
Yeah.
What was the name of it?
I forget.
Thurgood.
Yeah. It wasn't Thurgood. I forget. But it was really good. And anyway, I had a whole list of things here. But anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show. Byron Saunders, our resident guest host, resident historian. Thanks for calling in there, brother. And go ahead.
Thank you, brother.
Other people's.
I was just going to say thank you so very much and have a good upcoming holiday. We'll talk next week, obviously, hopefully. And if not, happy holidays to everybody anyway. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men, women, children, and nations. That's what we need to work toward. So,
All right. Thank you there, Brother Saunders. Merry Christmas to everybody. You wanted to say, Mom, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, happy holidays, everyone. And have a safe holiday and have a good time. And join us again for Kay Thompson Live next week, next Wednesday, 8 to 9. I'm exhausted with all the things going on. So sort of, you know, petering down here on Kay Thompson Live.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Kay Thompson Live show. You can catch the Kay Thompson Live show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/KayThompsonLive. You can listen to the show archives. They're also on every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. We'll see you again next Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. Good night. Bye-bye now.